Hey everyone, this is Scott Ferrioli from dvc-rental.com and buyandselldvc.com. There's a chill in the air coming this holiday season, and if you're thinking of coming to Disney, check out the deals section on our website. There are a bunch of great last-minute deals available. Or if you're thinking of possibly surprising your family for the holiday season, check out our resales page at buyandselldvc.com, where you can have a lifetime of Disney memories for your family at a discounted price.
Hello, welcome to the Dub D Dub Review. I'm your host, Chris Smalek, and I'm joined by my co-host extraordinaire, the rookie, Carly Positano. Carly, how are you?
Hi. Good, how are you?
Good. And we're joined by Scott Ferrioli. Scott, we don't have a nickname, but we're just going to go with Scott Ferrioli today.
I think that's better anyway.
He's the DVC master.
Right? Oh.
We've had plenty of names back and forth, but those are on our private messages. We can't reveal that right now. It's probably not good for the audience. Anyways, good to see you, buddy.
Oh, it's nice to be here. Nice to see you guys as well.
Scott, I can compete with you guys today in Illinois. It's 94 degrees, about 90% humidity, and we just went through about an hour of the most insane thunderstorms you could possibly imagine.
So same here.
Feels like Florida.
Yep.
What do you got, Carly? What's your weather today?
It's super hot and humid. No thunderstorms, although I wish we did because it would cool it off just a bit. But
so hot right now. It's like, you know, the humidity meets with this cold front and all heck breaks loose. So
thundering right now in the background, I hear it.
Is it really?
Yeah.
All right. Before we start our show today, we got a new show. We got something interesting to kind of work through. Let's share. Give me something good. You want to go first, Scott? Share something good in your life.
Sure. Nothing super exciting. I mean, it was relatively exciting for us is that we had a handyman over today and he installed 4 ceiling fans and a small chandelier for us. So everybody's really happy about that. My kids' rooms now have ceiling fans, and in our guest bedroom, when my parents come to visit, there's a ceiling fan, and also one in the workout room, which is really nice. So get a little air in there when I'm trying to exercise.
Okay. Did you go to Lowe's, Home Depot, or Menards? Did you pick like the best ceiling fan, or did you pick like the most economic version of that?
#thrifty as always. I went to Lowe's and they were insanely priced. So I went back home and I went to Amazon and they were about half the price. So
there you go.
Ordered 4 matching ones from some company I didn't really know, but it got really good reviews, and so far so good.
It's the life of a dad, right? You go to like Home Depot and you walk in the first aisle there and you get all these space age, awesome looking ceiling fans. And they're like $450, like $600. And you're like, okay, let's go a little further down the line. And pretty soon you get to the, you know, to the Heritage Bay $69 ceiling fan. It's like, that looks like about the right
one. See, I was looking for the Heritage Bay, but the problem is we needed remote controls, and they were barely in with remote controls. And they all started at like $150 for like the basic ugly one. And went up from there, and you know, they go to my kids' room in a workout room. So I'm not, you know, these aren't like display pieces. You know, I don't need some super expensive fan. I just need a basic fan. So Amazon to the rescue.
Nice. Nice. Carly, could you top ceiling fans in a chandelier?
It's gonna be hard for Carly. It's pretty exciting stuff.
I know. That is actually, you are speaking my language. Like, I love all things home improvement. But our latest ceiling lights we just bought at Amazon also. $25, might I add. I really am struggling to one up that one, but the school year started and so far so good. I'm 4 days in with kids. None of them have super gotten on my nerves yet. They're actually really cool kids. I have a lot of really fun personalities, and they've been really, really good this year. I think everybody's excited to be back in the classroom and get back to normal, at least for a little bit. So it's been really fun.
Good, because you don't seem all that stressed, and I'm glad. You know, the life of a teacher is definitely like insane.
I'm still definitely stressed. It's just the kids make it a little easier.
Nice. Nice. Okay.
How about you?
Well, let me share something, but let me completely take this off the rails. You heard the phrase, like, stay in your lane. I'm completely going to not stay in my lane right here. So, and I've been tempted. It was based on a conversation I had actually earlier in the day with somebody. So, are you guys like me? You guys, like, I almost have no control. You're flipping through Facebook and you see, like, news. And you've got to read the news stories, right? So you flip through the news stories. And I don't know if it's just me, but like when you see like the 164 like likes and like three frowny faces and two angry faces, like as you're flipping through the news stories, it gets my blood boiling like for anything that is like almost like it seems like recently, like America has forgotten how to just be nice to each other on all sides of the argument. If it's Republican or Democrat, I know we don't talk politics, if it's vaccine or not, if it's mask or not. And then I see people I love on both sides posting things, and people are so like ingrained and embedded in their ideas right now. Like literally the world's forgotten how to be civil. Like we've forgotten how to be civil. It's the most insane thing. And of course, like a fly on, like a sandwich. I'm literally going to the news stories like, oh, let's see what's going to make my life miserable today as I flip through these stories. I don't know what's wrong with me. So I guess my point of this is we just need to remember that everybody is completely burnt out right now. If you're a teacher, you haven't reached burnt out stage, Carly, because you're still smiling. But it will be very soon that you reach burnout stage. If you are an at-home businessman, if you are an entrepreneur, you're at burnout stage. If you're a restaurant owner, you're at burnout stage. If you work for the airlines, good Lord, those flight attendants deserve like triple pay every time that airplane leaves the ground. You're at burnout stage. If you deal with customer service in Walgreens and Amazon factory, you're at burnout stage. Like, I'm going to get out of my lane and say, just remember that. And you made a post, Carly, by the way, if you're not following like the Instagram feed for the Dubs, please do, because Carly's doing the like the majority of the lifting, almost like 99.9% of the lifting for Instagram, and she's got great stuff. But you posted something on your personal page where it showed like a person having like a nervous like meltdown, like a breakdown. Mm-hmm. But what you didn't see was it wasn't the breakdown for that day. It was like the four or five preceding events, and just that day's little bit just caused the breakdown. But it wasn't just that. Of course, I'm describing it very poorly, you know, but if you could remember that picture, it was so true that like anything right now is enough to push you over the edge. So here's my message. Be kind. Like we have so much anger and not enough like going out of your way. So here's my what's good. So we talk about it, and you hear me say it. And if you're an EDCOT, you see me always saying, hey, talk. We're here to talk. In the next few weeks, you're going to hear something. The Dubs as a crew decided to stop talking. And we're going to put our actions into play. And we're going to talk about that coming up in the future. So that's my what's good in your life. It's been the freaking best thing in my life for the last like 2 weeks. So we're going to reveal more details because... I'm excited. Yeah, we're not going to talk about it anymore. We're doing it now. So I'm just going to leave it like that. Be kind and join us in the future. I promise it'll make you smile. Anyways.
Now, before you move on, can I say one thing?
Absolutely.
JJP, first off, made two posts in the last week that just like really showcase who JJP is. First off, he said that he wants to see all of us in person again. Hello, he really does love us all. But what I found even better was, I think it was about a week ago, he said, this is one of two Disney groups. EDCOT is one of two that he's in that is positive. And that's none of us. That's all the community that kind of comes together. And I think that's true. Every time I go into EDCOT, I'm having a bad day. I hate the rest of Facebook and the rest of the interwebs. And I go into EDCOT and it's just somebody saying something nice or sharing something positive and exciting. And so I don't know. I guess that's my plug for EDCOT. If you're feeling all of that crap out in the rest of Facebook land, come join us because it's happiness.
I'll add that with my business right now, I spend a lot of my day just online doing social media stuff. And as Chris was saying, it's a lot of it is just a nightmare with fighting and everything. And exactly what you said, Carly. Whenever I'm scrolling through and I hit something on Epcot, I know it's always something nice. Or now that I'm friends with the people who are in Epcot, you know, like you know, I'm on their personal pages and they're always posting nice, uplifting stuff and what's going on. It's just everybody in that group and everybody that spawned out from that group, it's always some of the nicest stuff I run into on Facebook.
We don't always agree, but we all have an opinion and like everyone respects the opinion and we go forward. And like, so like, you know, like when you're in the high school, you have like that Model United Nations. It's like, we've like almost like formed that Model United Nations. And yeah, like you wouldn't mess with it because like, I wouldn't have to defend it. I'd have 50 people jump on somebody and say, hey, we don't have room for that crap here. You know, get it out of here, you know, or something like that. And that's what the world should be. So remember, be kind because we have too little kindness right now in our world. So, and if you're overseas, if you're Paul Clifton or my buddy Kevin, you can relate over there. And if you're in America, you certainly can relate over here. So anyways, on with our show. So here's what we got today. We've got a DVC expert. Okay. We've got the president of buy and sell DVC.com and DVC-rental. Scott's been on a bunch before with us. And besides that, he's one of my best friends. So Scott, Scott's going to join us today. Exactly. Scott's like, oh dear, all this pressure. And Carly's a DVC expert. And I by far am the least informed. I just pretend to know a lot of these things. But what we thought we would do, like that Model United Nations, is we're going to have a DVC debate like club today. And we kind of set this up along these parameters. We got three people. One person's going to be moderator and going to fire off a question. And it's going to say, this is just an example. All right. Describe the best color. Scott, you have purple. Carly, you have green. And you have a minute to describe that. And then you have to pose your argument to me as the moderator. Now, I try to make my questions, and I have three questions for me. Carly's got three. Scott's got three. We're going to go around in a group here. And hopefully we're going to have some good arguments. We're probably not, because again, I know by far the least of these guys. But we thought it'd be fun to kind of defend some positions here in a debate style format. The only thing I thought of was this. When I give my question, I'm going to go and also let you know what the viewpoint is. Because when you pose an argument back, Carly, if you want to go and defend the color green, how do you not know that I'm not colorblind and I can't see the color green? So you could do the best coloring. So in an argument, I'm going to say this is for a family of four, or this is for an elderly couple, or this is for a mom and a dad on a date weekend. So I figured that way you can kind of coax your argument. Yes, we are going to make a complete mess of this, and it's not going to come off nearly as polished as I'm making it sound, but I'm getting to spend a Tuesday night with my buddies, and that's what makes it cool.
I feel like I'm getting set up again, because every time this happens, it's, Scott, how can you rank Wilderness Lodge so low? How can you do this? It's going to be like, Scott, you know, pick one of these two resorts, and I have to sell both of them. So if I pick one, it's, oh, you don't like the other one. Well, you sold me that one.
All right. So the first question, buying resale or retail? Scott, you have to defend buying retail. Malik, what are you doing?
I'm waiting for the hate mail. I know it's coming.
No. So let me go first, because then I'll give the example. Okay, this would be my first example, and you're both prepared for this. Okay, so this just comes from a family of four. Okay, that's the perspective. So the first question is, the most impressive lobby and ambience of the DVC resort. Scott, you're going to defend Animal Kingdom Lodge. Carly, you're going to defend Wilderness Lodge.
All right.
So you have both lodges, Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge. So you have to defend. Now, remember, defending is talking about the pros, not necessarily dragging the negative into the conversation. So you've got about a minute. He's got a question.
Did you steal Scott?
Jumbo House versus Wilderness Lodge lobby.
See, Scott, that's why I went first, because at least I can get my one good question out. Right? I kind of hogged the airway. All right. So again, Carly's defending Wilderness Lodge. Scott's defending Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I guess there's no judge. So the moderator's obviously playing the judge. So for a family of four with kids.
Oh, don't worry. They'll be judging, I'm sure.
We're looking at lobby again. Is that what you said? Most impressive lobby?
The most impressive lobby, only lobby, and ambiance. Being that they were both created.
Wilderness Lodge hate mail again.
Yep, exactly. Being they were both created.
Don't
by the same architect. So
that's my extra stuff to throw in there. Same architect.
So right now, Carly's like, okay, I got to figure this
out. See, Carly's writing down notes. I'm just sitting here like, all right, let's get killed. I'm ready to get destroyed. Let's do this.
Who'd like to go?
I'm only writing down notes because my brain is fried. So I'm happy if I just remember I have to defend Wilderness Lodge.
Don't worry. I'm laughing now. When it's my turn to defend, believe me, I'm going to be terrible. So I know this. So, Carly, would you like to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
We won't do this in terms of timing, but we'll say keep it brief, about a minute or so, minute or two for each person. Okay.
I'm glad that you picked me for Wilderness Lodge because it is one of my favorites. The lobby, just when you walk in, the height of everything in that lobby, I feel like for a little kid, it's just so overwhelmingly cool that you can't help but love it. The fireplace and the story behind the fireplace, I feel, is amazing. Showing all the different layers of the rocks. And I think they all mean something, though I can't for the life of me remember at the moment. I feel like I should have had research time. But my absolute favorite part of the entire Wilderness Lodge lobby are the rocking chairs that are set up next to that little bridge that has the water inside the building. It's so peaceful. You're in this huge lobby and you're surrounded by tons of people. But you sit in those chairs and you look at the water and you listen to it like gurgling in there and you just get lost in it. And the little kids walk by and they like to walk back and forth over the bridge, over the bridge, over the bridge, over the bridge. And it's just adorable. So you've got that and you've got the mix of the amazing totem poles next to the gift shop. And you've got the totem poles in the middle of the lobby itself. And then you've got the crazy sounds coming from Whispering Canyon?
Mm-hmm.
Look at me not showing off my food knowledge. But the Whispering Canyon noises coming in, I love it, hands down.
Okay. Mr. Ferrioli.
Everything Carly said was incorrect. <I'm> just...
I love them both. I don't have hate for Wilderness Lodge like Scott Ferrioli. No, he does not hate it, people. He does not hate that resort. He loves that lobby. He loves that resort. So anyways, go ahead, Scott.
In my opinion, and probably Carly's as well, these are the two most impressive lobbies on property. Both by the same architect, both big open air lobbies. So when you walk in, you've got, you know, six floors of lobby there. Wood in the Animal Kingdom, you've got the wood carvings, you've got shields up, you've got big giant chandeliers made out of like shield logo as well. It starts though before the lobby, because when you go in the parking lot, when you start walking up into Animal Kingdom, there's music playing and there's like little crickets and animals sounds as you're walking up. And once you go into the lobby, it continues in there. I mean, walking into the lobby is one of my favorite things. Even before you hit the lobby, just hearing the sounds before you reach like even the valet parking, I absolutely love. And then when you walk in, you've got the big engraving right there in the floor. And the cast members are absolutely wonderful. And they'll come over and they do stuff in the lobby all the time. They'll have the kids come and they'll do sketchings. Put the piece of paper down on the engraving on the ground and rub the crayon or something to get the sketchings up onto the paper. It's very similar to Wilderness Lodge. We were just there 2 weeks ago. You've got a nice fireplace there, not as big as Wilderness Lodge, but like a little like fire pit area. And when you look down, it overlooks the restaurant. So you look down at Boma and the bar and you've got the smells from that. You've got the African music that they're playing throughout the lobby. I mean, and plus when you go into Jumbo House and you stare straight through, you've got this giant glass window that's got etchings and carvings around it. And you can see out onto the savannah where there's a fire pit out there as well. It's a super, super impressive lobby. Same with Wilderness Lodge. Very, very similar. I love Jumbo House, though. I'm actually going to Boma Friday night for the first time in a couple years. Looking forward to that. But again, Jumbo House, my absolute favorite lobby on property. Hard to beat. And the cast members there are fantastic. Again, all typically in the past, all from African culture, different countries. Plus you've got all of, there's so much artwork. And I mean, there's so much stuff all from Africa. And it's so well themed. And all the people working there are typically from Africa, not now due to COVID. But it's just, it's such an immersive experience that's really, really hard to beat Jumbo House.
Okay. Carly, would you like 10 seconds to retort? Because Scott went long. Do you want to throw anything else in?
No, I mean, he's absolutely right. It is beautiful. It's, if we're just looking at Lobby alone, they're so similar. He's absolutely right. I feel like you could go either place and not be let down.
I would like to add, about an hour ago, I was scrolling through Facebook and somebody online posted a picture of the smaller fireplace in the villas section from Wilder's Lodge. And I turned to Shannon. I was like, oh, I just want to go sit there in front of the rocking chairs in front of the fireplace and hang out for a little bit right now. So, and of course, the first thing I've got coming in is defending against it. But
hey, Scott, fantastic. Maybe there'll be an on-location dub show next time I'm down. Maybe me and you by the rocking chairs and by the fireplace, like two grizzled old DVC veterans talking about the Wilderness Lodge.
Nope, that sounds great with me.
Okay,
that was
good
the
news.
First thing I had on my list, Jumbo House good. Versus Wilderness Lodge, and then parentheses, I wrote Lobby.
Good news, bad news. Okay, I'm going to award this round to Carly, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Everything you had, and I'm going to be judgy, it could have been summed up in one word. Authenticity. That Jumbo House has authenticity that Wilderness Lodge does not have. It has authentic like wood pylons, but the cast members, it doesn't feel like the Pacific Northwest. It resembles it, but Animal Kingdom Lodge, it actually feels like you're in an African lodge. You know, it's authentic. So, but for this case, I'm going to award that round to Carly.
I didn't know we were getting points for keywords.
I know, right?
I'm
judging. My vocabulary is not very good. I'm in trouble.
Scott, I got my judgy eyes. Look at me. I got my judgy eyes on today.
Judgy eyes.
Completely. But now it's your turn to judge. So, Carly, you want to go next?
Who's going next? Me?
Doesn't matter. Carly and
Scott. Sure.
Scott. Okay.
I want to go before Scott steals my idea.
For Scott.
We're going to put poor Scott at a disadvantage.
Hot dog or a hamburger?
I already got my butt kicked in the first round, and now I got to face Chris. Fantastic.
It's all right. Okay. So I have no specific audience for this, really, because it doesn't matter. We are looking at convenience factor.
Okay.
Between the Boardwalk Resorts and the Monorail Loop Resorts.
Okay.
So convenience of getting to the parks, doing your thing, food, whatever you find convenient. And I am going to, Scott, do you have a preference? Do you want one? Oh, no. Did I steal yours?
Monorail resorts versus boat resorts.
Okay.
All right. Well, then I'm going to give you monorail. You listed monorail first on yours. And that means, Chris, you're going to have boardwalk.
Ooh, what a change there. And Mr. Furioli has to defend against the boardwalk, which is his favorite resort. So, okay, very good. So convenience for everything. Convenience for food, convenience for the parks, family enjoyment, all that kind of stuff, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Tough one. Okay.
Convenience.
Gotcha. How about if I go first? I'll buy you some time, Scott. Want me to go first?
Sure.
All right. I'm going to talk about convenience in terms of price point, because when you talk about the resorts around Crescent Lake, I'm also including the Swan and the Dolphin. So I'm including it $169 price point per night. I'm going to include that all the way up to luxury over at the Yacht Club. I'm going to include that in terms of a boat ride. I'm going to include that in terms of a Skyliner ride. I'm going to include that in terms of an easy, convenient walking ride. I'm going to include that in terms of character dining, in terms of quick service, in terms of two ice cream shops, two separate, three, if you consider one over in the Swan and the Dolphin, they have their own ice cream shop
there.
That's true. Walkable to two parks, boat ride to two parks. All right. And you can access quickly via Skyliner to several other resorts, including DVC resorts and non-DVC resorts. So in terms of convenience between buses, boat rides, two parks, food options, price point, which you can't find, you cannot find that at the Monorail Loop. You cannot find price point. There's one price, and it's the $4 sign price point. You can find it different over here. So in terms of convenience, it's got everything.
All right. Scott, are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready. The only thing, I mean, and don't get me, as you know, I love myself some Boardwalk and Beach Club, but the only thing it doesn't have is access to the most rides in Disney World, where that's Magic Kingdom. And if you've got little kids, having access to the monorail and or even walking distance to Magic Kingdom, plus also monorail over to Epcot, is highly, highly desirable. Epcot's my favorite resort to go to overall, plus at night. I love Epcot. Nice, easy access, as does the Boardwalk and Beach Club. But you've got the nice monorail access, or at Grand Floridian and Bay Lake Tower, easy access to walk directly over to Magic Kingdom, which is really, really nice, because when you try to leave the parks, it is a complete nightmare at night, especially if you're, you know, most people want to stay and watch the fireworks. After the fireworks end, I mean, even being on the monorail can be really, really tough, but not so tough when you've got walking distance from two of the three resorts. Plus, you've got lots of great dining options at those three resorts. You've got the monorail crawl, because there's nice bars and places to eat at all of, you know, at all of the parks. You've got some really, really nice, what's it called? We'll say exclusive dining with California Grill, stuff with Ohana. You've got buffets. It's really, really hard to beat those monorail resorts. And, you know, again, I do love some boat ride resorts, and I'm going against what I normally do here, but I got to defend it. But monorail resorts are the best. Also, some of the best views on property, with views of the fireworks from the rooms, again, with Grand Floridian and Polynesian and Bay Lake Tower. All three resorts, you can see the fireworks from the rooms as well. Plus, you have access to the water pageant as well. So really hard to beat those monorail resorts, because you get fireworks and the water pageant at night as well, which you do not get at the Epcot resorts.
All right. I've got to say.
Dolphin. Cheater.
Well, you get, Scott, I just want to ask you, are those kids Star Wars fans? I'm just curious.
Who goes to Hollywood Studios or Animal Kingdom? Epcot and Magic Kingdom are the two biggest, most traveled to parks.
I'm just asking. Okay. Very good.
I'm not going to lie. He totally had me at monorail crawl.
Go figure.
Expect anything else.
Go figure.
Actually, his very first point that I was like, ooh, Chris is kind of winning here. Chris is definitely winning. He said the crowds at Magic Kingdom, because that seems to be where we have had the most issue getting busing lately. Yes. And I don't know if it's ever since the pandemic, or if it's been that way for a while, but we had been, you know, really blowing our budget and taking minivans a lot and Ubers and Lyfts. But oh my gosh, at Magic Kingdom, you can get Ubers or Lyfts at night, and it's near impossible, or it's $50 or $60. Mm-hmm. But we waited one night on our last trip in line for over an hour to get a bus. And it's just frustrating as all get out. So you really had me at transportation, being able to walk back to those two from Magic Kingdom, because that place is like where transportation goes to die. But then also the fireworks, because we have watched the fireworks from Poly before, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So the point goes to Scott on this one.
Scott's got it.
And I didn't think that would happen, because I'm actually a huge fan of the Boardwalk resorts and the convenience there for the back entrance to Epcot, right?
I absolutely love Boardwalks. I'm going, all right, I had to go against my love of the Boardwalk area and try to fight for the monorail resorts. So
no problem. You're up, my friend.
So let's see. You've taken two out of my four. I created an extra one. You've taken two of my four so far.
Okay.
So I'm just going to do resort versus resort. Again, we want to keep something similar. You know, we spoke beforehand saying, you don't want to do anything that's going to be, you know, a Saratoga Springs versus a Grand Florida. You don't want anything that's just not a comparable option. So what I think are some of the two most comparable options are Polynesian versus Grand Floridian. So I don't know who should get what. Chris, why don't you take Grand Floridian? Carly, take Poly?
Oh, good. Yes.
Okay. Have you stayed at the Poly, Carly?
I have.
Good girl. Okay.
I've never stayed at Grand Floridian.
I'm aware of the Grand Floridian.
Oh, good. So now you can sound a little sillier like me. Don't worry.
I always sound silly, Scott. That's my normal tone.
No, that's the worst part. He's so good at this. He's going to sound so great no matter what. Right. I can pick some random hotel in Idaho, and he'll make it sound amazing.
Go ahead, Carly. I'm gonna put you on pressure then. You have to go first then.
Okay. So just a head-to-head, so I'm just selling Polly. Yeah. All right. Oh, my gosh. The dog's going to bark. I'm sorry. He's very excited about Polly as well. Polly is just one of those resorts. I just remember as a kid going, and we would go through the monorail and we wouldn't really stop and look at it. But as you're going through, it just felt like, oh my gosh, we just got transported to some oasis somewhere and it was beautiful. And then as we started to go with Riley and my parents, we would go to Polly and we would go to Ohana, and it just felt like this amazing getaway to a beach somewhere. And it felt very ritzy, but not pompous and arrogant like maybe some of the other resorts that might be discussed here shortly. Right, shots fired. But it just has this very comfortable, very laid back feel. The pool area is gorgeous, and it's got enough of a slide that the kids would enjoy it. The dining is incredible. It doesn't matter if it's Captain Cook's, if it's, Ohana, just the amazing breakfast with the pog juice that you can't get anymore. Or just being in that lobby, again, it's got all the plants and it's very lush and alive. And you just feel like you're surrounded by something very special and beautiful. It's got the best, hands down, gift shop in any of the resorts I've been in. It's got some fantastic merchandise that you can't really find anywhere else. And just walking outside, going down to the beach and walking across the sand and looking across the lake at Magic Kingdom, it's got some beautiful vistas. And if you're lucky enough to score one of those incredible huts, the cabanas outside, they're just, oh my goodness, they are the most gorgeous places. I can't even afford to stay there an hour, let alone a night, but I could live there for the rest of my life and be totally happy. They're fantastic. There's something very special, something very upscale, but not pretentious at Polly.
The rookie not sounding like a rookie.
Yeah, very good. Go for it,
Malik.
All right.
Bring it.
So here's how I compare this. Scott, if someone told you they'd have stayed for 3 nights at the Polly, your reaction would be something like this. It's very nice. It's very nice. If I said I'd have spent 3 nights over at the Grand Floridian, your reaction would be, whoa. Because there's no other place like it on Walt Disney World property. When you stay at the flagship, and it is the flagship resort. It is the flagship DVC resort. Why do I say that? Because they have their own wedding pavilion. They have their own wedding pavilion. That's where people dream about getting married. When you go on vacation, you want to be impressed. You don't want to feel stuffy. You don't want to feel like you need a renovation every 3 to 5 years to try and keep up with the flow of things. It's just known when you walk in that this is the flagship. It's opulent. It's beautiful. It's ornate. It's innovative. They have TVs in the mirrors. They don't necessarily need the bungalows. You don't need to trick up the first place. You don't need to trick up the champion of the flagship. Splash pad, pool, monorail loop, second closest resort walking to the Magic Kingdom. We were talking about convenience just earlier about Magic Kingdom and walking distance. In fact, I've never stayed. But when I walked in, there's something about that lobby when you walk in, and you may feel like you're transported to the South Seas at the Polynesian, and it's legendary. It's the original. I completely get that. But when you walk into the Grand Floridian, it's not just a momentary transformation. All of a sudden, you feel like you're like creme de la creme. Like you are staying at the best they can offer.
You and your words.
That's the problem. He throws all the keywords out there. He just peppers them
I
in.
I know. He just threw out opulent. Nobody uses that word.
He knew the flagship was right.
I'm saying that is thesaurus going. I saw
it. Hang on. Okay, this off my word of the day calendar.
After Carly went, I was like, oh yeah, she's got him. She killed him. And then he went, and I'm like, oh man, he's good. He is just good. This is why he runs the stupid show. He's just too good.
He should be a car salesman.
Yeah, he should be.
Carly, about Scott, how long was that ago? About 3 years ago, we were talking. We had Scott on, and we were talking about the Grand Floridian. And I referred to a walking path from the Grand Floridian to the Magic Kingdom. I referred to this. And I was so certain, right? I was absolutely certain about this. And I think Scott, after that, goes, Chris, they don't have a walking path. Like, what are you talking about? Of course they got a walking path. I had to pull out the map. Dang it. Someone needs a walking path to get in Floridian. So at that time, I quoted a path that didn't exist. But it does now. It does now. I'm making up for it. Anyways.
Yeah. So. It's
are you giving the point to Chris?
I didn't want to. I didn't want to. I was like, he's messing with me on everything, and he's setting me up. And I was like, Carly's got him. She's killed him. And then he started talking. I just immediately went, oh, he's good. Yeah.
The funny thing is, it's so interpretive, because like some people just want to relax and they feel like that tiki, like you know, Trader Sam's might have swayed too, mm-hmm. if you had Trader Sam's. But like some people want that. But like if you like, okay, I need to stay at the best hotel, like the city of Chicago has to offer, you're gonna go like to the Drake or like, you know, the Four Seasons downtown, and that's what they always market it as. I mean, but of course, like Yacht Club, it's understated opulence, but like Grand Floridian is like hoity-toity, you know, full out monocle, full out top hat, yeah. You know. So
Riley loves to go to the Grand Floridian and walk down the staircase into the lobby, right? She just feels like a princess, so it's hilarious. I get it.
Nice. All right. We'll have to speed this up as you're going along. Here's my next argument for you guys. You're flying into MCO. And this is, like you said, DVC. What did you describe it as, Carly?
Adjacent.
DVC adjacent. You're flying into MCO. Scott, you're defending renting a car. Carly, you're defending taking an Uber and then buses around the parks. Well, that doesn't help. That face doesn't help, Carly. Don't do that. Not a good way. Scott, rent a car. Hit me.
All right. Before I moved down here, every single time we flew from New Jersey, we absolutely rented a car. Typically, the prices to rent a car in Florida are very, very low. Right now with COVID, they're very high. Typically, on the less expensive side, the first thing we would do when we got the car, we'd go to the resort, check in, and then we would run out to the grocery stores. Typically, we go to Walmart. This was especially wonderful when we had kids, because instead of trying to pack everything and bring all the food or buy the food down here, we go to Walmart. The first thing, we're picking up diapers. We're picking up formula if needed. We're picking up juice, stuff to bring to the park, snacks, all the smaller stuff that we need. And that way, it's always really good to have small Ziploc bags as well, so that way you can bring all the little snacks and keep everything separate when you go to the parks. It also helps you get around to go from resort to resort. Truthfully, when I stay on Disney property, the only time I normally use the buses is to go to Magic Kingdom, just because the parking is such a pain in the butt at Magic Kingdom. You have to park, then you have to take the tram, and then you have to walk, then you have to hop on the monorail, and then take the monorail over. So I always, buses are so much easier there. But every other park I go to, I always drive a car anyway, just because it's so much easier to hop in your car at the resort, zip over to the parks. Typically, from anywhere you stay, it's a 10-15 minute ride to any one of the parks. You've got free parking at the hotels when you stay on DVC points, and also when you're staying on anywhere in Disney property, free parking at any of the the parks as well. So super convenient, easy. Helps you save money because of the food options as well. So I mean, I always find that saving the money and also the convenience makes up for the price of the car anyway.
Okay. Carly, I was going to offer you the Magical Express, but I realize that's not running in. And now the new Mirrors Transportation, that fee is a little steep. If you've seen that fee for like a family of four or five, it's like, whoa, you know, yikes. So,
yes.
All right. Well, so Ubering and buses, Carly.
I'm still going to say that Mirrors Transportation is still going to be cheaper than buying a car or renting a car, because I get that sometimes they're cheap. Right now, they're not so bad. In January, when the Magical Express is no longer so magical, prices on rental cars go from about $160 for 3 to 4 days to $350 for 3 to 4 days. Mm-hmm. So it's insanely expensive. With Disney already being a very expensive vacation, you need to save money wherever you can. So Uber is the way to go. It's somewhere between $40, I think, and $60 for a family to get an Uber from MCO to your resort or to Disney. As far as grocery delivery and pickup, I get the convenience factor of having the car, but you can't beat Amazon or Eir for each other. You send them a list of what you want. You don't have to stop at the store. Again, at Disney, time is money and every dollar counts. So just have it delivered right to your resort. It's taken care of. You're just on your way to go have fun in your Uber. And then once you get to Disney, you don't need transportation. Forget all the car seats. Forget all the hassle of parking and being thousands of feet away from anything all the way out in the middle of the parking lot. I know it was very frustrating for us when we rented a car because we got to the park super early. We were one of the first probably 20 cars in the parking lot. And they start you parking all the way at the end of the lot. You're in the very closest line of cars, but you're still, you know, a mile and a half all the way out. And then the cars that come in after you get to park closer to the entrance of the park. So that's super frustrating. So get the bus, you get right off pretty close to the front doors of all of the parks. You don't have to worry about finding your car at the end of the day or after a few drinks at Epcot Food and Wine Festival. You don't have to worry about that factor. You're just hopping right on Disney transportation. You know, you're very safe in those buses with those drivers and it's free. Take advantage of anything that Disney is giving you for free because they don't give a whole lot for free.
So interesting. I was already preset for the car because I'm a car person myself.
I am too.
But you know what?
I want to eat at Boma this Friday though.
Yeah, exactly. You make a good point. And here's the point you didn't make. So when I was on vacation, it seemed literally every time I was down there with a car, not only you're paying for gas and you're paying for those tolls on the turnpike there or the road back, I literally had a fender bender every time because hashtag Florida drivers. It's like no place else on the planet. Like literally I had a tire pop one time. I had a guy run into my car while I was parked at a Wawa gas station inside and he literally hit my car. It was a rental car. So, I mean, and God forbid the Florida State Patrol took like 4 hours to get there that one day. And it's all vacation time. So I was preset for a rental car, but you make a great point. $60. You're there. If you do a little bit of shopping ahead of time for 40 minutes of your day, you get the food delivered. And you know what? I hate that idea, but I like the argument. So I'm going to go with that argument. I'm going to go with Uber and I'm going to go with the buses. And, you know, it makes sense to me. But I'm a rental car guy myself, so I'm really talking out of both sides of my mouth, you know.
I am too. We have gotten a rental car every time because it's the Tragical Express. I hate their stupid bus system.
The one thing you said, though, is right, though. Running a car right now in Florida is a painful, painful thing. I don't know if I told you guys when I went down with Lisa for like 3 days. I don't remember when that was, in May or something. And it cost me like $400 for 3 days for a rental car. And the guy tried to upsell me at the station. He was like, oh, for $20 more, you can rent a Mustang. I was ready to say, give me the damn car. You know, I'm not paying a cent more. You know, I'll take my Kia Soul.
Yeah. The last time we went in, we got to, we called the day before just to double check our rental. And we were told, well, right now, we're not really sure if you're going to have a car available here. And I was like, that's kind of something we need to know. So we were just like, cancel it. We'll just rent a car service. And we did it that way.
You went for the Seinfeld script.
You had to take the reservation. You only had to keep the reservation.
Exactly. All right. Scott, or who is next? Was it Carly that was next?
Yeah. I was in the rotation, but if Scott wants to go so I don't steal his options.
Maybe. Yep. There we go.
Go ahead.
All right.
I came up with a new one as it is right now. So just, I hope you don't take that. You can't.
Okay.
You're fine.
I'm kind of switching my gears a little bit because we already discussed Grand Floridian and that was next on my list. So I am going to change it up and we are looking at kid friendly. I want to stay 10 years old and younger kid friendly. So, you know, the younger end. Riviera versus the contemporary, Bay Lake. Scott, do you have a preference?
I'll take either.
Okay.
I'll lose either one to Chris.
No, time. No. I tell you what. Let's make it easy. Scott, would you take the Riviera, if you would, Scott? Because I'm not a huge fan of the Riviera. And I'll take the other one. What is the other one? It was contemporary?
Yep, Bay Lake Tower.
Gotcha. Okay. You want to go first, buddy?
Sure, I'll go first.
Okay.
All right.
I do enjoy Riviera. They have great pool there, plus a really, really great splash and play area for kids. Contemporary really doesn't have much of a splash and play area at all. I should say Bay Lake Tower. Bay Lake Tower doesn't. Riviera is a really great splash and play area. Great pool. You're right on the Skyliner, which is super, super fun for kids and for big kids like Chris and I to go on as well. So over to Hollywood, you've got great access to Hollywood Studios, which is great for those Star Wars fans, which all little kids are Star Wars fans. And over to Epcot, where you have Epcot right there, but then you have the whole boardwalk area with the multiple ice cream shops and the restaurants and walking along the lake. Topolino's is a fantastic restaurant. I'm trying to think, probably better for kids for breakfast. Also downstairs in the lobby, there's the takeout restaurant, the little quick service restaurant. Absolutely fantastic breakfast, less expensive. We absolutely love the breakfast there. There's really nowhere to eat anything at Bay Lake Tower. Unfortunately, you have to go walk over to the Contemporary. So there's not a lot of food options there. Riviera's got great food options as well. Just an absolutely fantastic resort. And my kids absolutely love the bocce court at Riviera. They also have a little chess court. They have a lot of stuff for the kids to play with outside, but my kids will sit there for hours and just play bocce while my wife and I sit there and eat gelatos and listen to the French and Italian music that they play in the background and pretend that we're somewhere else on the Riviera.
Nice.
Ooh.
Nice.
You got a tough one to follow there.
It doesn't matter. He's going to pull something out and sound amazing.
No. So if I had to go and sell somebody with 10-year-old kids on Bay Lake Tower, of course I'm going to drag in the Contemporary to this because it's all part of the same complex. So here's how I'm going to sell it to you, all right, as 10-year-old kids. First off, I understand from a previous discussion that it's the closest resort to the Magic Kingdom, which is the headliner. So I understand it's very convenient. So it's very convenient to the number one tourist attraction in the entire United States. It may be the most convenient. That's my first reason. My second reason is that you can get Chef Mickey's right at the Contemporary, and you can see Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy in a fun family-filled setting. My third reason is, did I mention that monorails can go through the lobby and the look of your 10-year-old as the actual monorail train actually enters the hotel and exits the hotel? And the fourth reason is, you know, they have that mosaic. Have you ever seen a kid stare up with his head directed up looking at the mosaic? No. Could you tell him? No, you've never seen it before? No. Would you ever put your kid on a scavenger hunt to find the five-legged goat? Can you imagine this, the awe and wonder? And I haven't even described that you get two pools. You get the Contemporary pool and you get the Bay Lake Tower pool, right? You get the fireworks at night. And I heard that you get some kind of electrical pageant thing that was convenient at nighttime. I heard that as well. So I'm just saying, you put all those together. How do you lose with a 10-year-old in that situation?
Oh man, you really could sell like lakefront property in Arizona.
I'm on the Buy and Sell website right now looking for Bay Lake Tower. I'm going to buy a contract.
You have those already. You know what? And here's the funny thing is I don't like Bay Lake Tower. I've been inside for the tour. I'm not a huge fan of it because it feels kind of sterile. But like the actual room itself, everything around it is like to the tens. But I don't like the actual rooms themselves. But Scott, you had a show, you had a YouTube where they showed like the three bedroom, the grand villa, on buy and sell. You went in for a tour on the three bedroom, like grand villa. It was at Bay Lake.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was the double decker lobby one, mm-hmm. and like you looked outside the window, and I was like, dang, that's something impressive, you know. And you combine all that, yeah, it's just a standalone building, but everything around it, it makes it just like one of the best, for sure.
Oh my goodness. This one's hard. I'm going to give it to Scott because I just feel like...
Pity?
Am I putting on my judgy?
Pity? Are you putting pity?
I am not, actually. Talked more about the contemporary than you did Bailey Tower, which I felt was cheating.
Well, how do I compare a place that has no restaurants?
I don't know. I loved Bay Lake whenever we went in, and I do love contemporary more than I ever thought I would. But Riviera, the outside, you're right. Like when you set those bocce courts, and I think they've got big chess sets out there, and they do have a splash pad. We did not go in it. I did go in the pool, which was like, nah, I mean, it's okay. It's a pool. Whenever you go in the other, you know, like Stormalong Bay and stuff.
Their pools, honestly, it's decent. It's fair. But their splash area for the kids is really, really cool.
Yes. We did walk around that side of it, and I did see that splash pad, which is awesome. So I am giving the point to Scott.
Scott did send me videos, Carly, before, too. I don't know if they were actually put on his website, on his YouTube page for buy and sell, or he just sent them to me to mock me of him sitting outside eating gelato as his kids are playing bocce. I think he might have sent them to me. Yeah, just to me, maybe. Just to poke fun at me. So
I feel like, no, you should have pointed out the artwork in the rooms and in the hotel itself, because I feel like, Chris, when you mentioned the mural in contemporary, yes, that's cool. I love, like, there's something, I get chills whenever I look at the big mural outside of Riviera when you're walking to the Skyliner, that one side is Peter Rapunzel. Pan and the other side is Rapunzel. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's just something amazing about that.
Yeah, I have a phone screensaver of that. It's really pretty impressive. I've only seen it once in my life, and it immediately caught my eyes, like, what is this? This is phenomenal.
And all their artwork is amazing. Yeah. And it's all for sale in their gift shop. In a little kiosk, and you put it in, and oh my gosh, my goal is to have every single one of their art pieces because they're amazing.
Nice. We may have to cut this one based on the timing of it. We may have to cut this short after the second round. So Scott, you have one left, right?
One last one. I'm switching it around because of all the messiness, we'll say. So I'm going to leave it open to you guys. And I had one planned. I'm switching it again because since we just covered the kids stuff, and I'm going to be open for you guys. I want you to debate your favorite restaurant for a couple's dinner. Not including Victoria and Albert's. So nothing, you know, super expensive. I originally was going to say your favorite restaurant with the family, but you know what? We just did family, so let's do couples. So you and your significant other.
Is this at a DVC resort?
Oh, no, Disney property.
Oh my gosh.
So I didn't want to pick specific ones because in case you guys didn't eat there.
Yeah, that's a good point. And my knowledge of this is going to be way less than Carly because, like, literally Carly goes there and eats everywhere. So I'm going to have to be creative in my thinking.
Maybe it'll be easy for me to give Carly the point then.
It might be.
I'm ready.
Does a tuna sandwich at Wawa
count? I just let off. She's ready. With
a cold youngling 20-ounce beer. Does that count?
No, you need the air fryer in the back of your van with the reheated pizza.
Okay. All right.
I'm ready. I'm going to start us off. You said anywhere on Disney property, yes?
Yes.
Hands down, Wine Bar George. And I feel like it's such a weird choice because it's not what everybody expects. When we first thought about going there, it seemed very uppity, very pretentious and snooty. And I was intimidated, honestly, to go in because I thought, I like wine, but I'm like I'm okay wine coming out of a box kind of girl. So I thought, I'm going to be so out of my element, but we wanted to try it because we heard it was really great. And we went in, the servers are just absolutely amazing. I know two of them by name now. We've had Kiana every single time we've been. If you're going, ask for her. She's amazing. Mike is also really good. But she came up and she was like, what kind of wine can I get you? And I was like, I don't really know wine. I like kind of sweeter wines. And she's like, do you like red? Do you like white? I'm like, I don't really know. We'll find you a wine. And she brought me out one. And I was like, no, I don't like that. She brought me out another one. Yeah, it's okay. And she said, no, this is a wine bar. We have over 100 different types of wine. I don't want one that's just okay. I want one that you love. So she just kept bringing me samples until I found one. I was like, that's my wine. But they take something that could be very intimidating for people and they make it very easy. And the food is phenomenal. They have a steak with chimichurri that comes out as a family style meal. I think it's around $50, which Disney pricing and an upscale restaurant, I don't feel as bad. It serves the three of us very easily. And it's always phenomenal. It's got asparagus and potatoes and the steak, and it's always cooked amazing. Dessert is always a hit too. They have very few desserts, but the ones that they have are stellar. They have a wine flight with chocolates that makes you feel very fancy, but they teach you how to go through it, and it leaves you feeling like, I had a good dessert, that was a good experience, and I had some good food. And the views are amazing. They have some outside tables, and you overlook Disney Springs, but you're above it all, so you don't feel like you're congested. It's gorgeous.
Carly, when you mentioned that I know you guys love that place and you were going last time. And frankly, I was on the outside looking at it and I was like, I'm a little intimidated to go there because I'm not a wine drinker myself. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, I don't know how I would do there, you know, especially with my dietary habits, you know, and stuff like that. But like, I was intimidated to try that because, you know, I'm glad you said that purposely. I mean, I'm defending your argument. I'm glad you said that. So
yeah.
Now let me destroy her, Scott. Hang on.
I was looking for ideas from you guys too for places to eat. So this is good.
Have you done Wine Bar George?
No, I have not.
Oh my gosh! Please do, and let me know.
So, despite the fact that I said that you don't tear the other one down, here's what I will say. You know what it doesn't have?
What?
It doesn't have a theme. You know what else it doesn't have? Anybody can just walk right into that place. You want a place where you can talk and just relax and you want to just be able to unwind a good solid meal, but you want some theming in there. But do you feel like you need some exotic food? Because if you do, I could take you to Sanaa and I could seat you right outside and I could literally have the giraffes and the okapis come right up to the door. Have you ever had the bread service, Scott?
I have not.
Scott.
I
okay. Holy mother of pearl.
Here's the thing. I've eaten a lot of Indian food in my time. I love naan and I'm used to it coming free with meals. So to sit there and say, you got to spend $15 to get naan. My hashtag thrifty size says, no, thank you.
Scott, I will tell you this much. If you've had the bread service once, I tell you what, I will pay for your bread service.
Okay.
And if you don't tell me it's the best bread service or it's the best appetizer for any meal you've ever had, I'll buy you a second one.
Now there's bribery. Look at this bribery.
It is phenomenal. But when you go into the restaurants, when you go into Sanaa, I mean it's actually the lamps and like the chandeliers are in the shape of like a bird's nest, and they have pottery and they have like an authentic background in that restaurant. Yes, it's Indian food, but it's also it's African food. And they use such interesting flavors, but it's not intimidating to the palate. You said it's a couples thing, but it's good for families, but it's secluded and it's quiet and it's dark. But if you get the right moment, if you get sunset, I mean, it's perfect. You get to see the animals. The menu is probably similar to Wine Bar George, wouldn't you say, Carly, in terms of pricing, it's probably up there, maybe a little cheaper. It might be a little cheaper than Wine Bar George, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's going to be very similar at the end of everything when you throw it together. But it's authentic. And you have to go there. You have to drive to go there. You just don't walk in. Anybody can just walk into Wine Bar George. Just saying. You might get somebody that was looking at the Lego store. And then you might have some loud kid next to you on your date with your wife, right? You might be like, hey, kid, shut it. I'm here spending money with my wife. So just say it. Just say it.
I'm the worst debater ever because you're talking, I'm like, I love Sanaa. Sanaa is great.
You know what I was going to do? You know what else Scott likes? I was going to throw Olivia's in there because Scott loves Olivia's too as well. So that's a Farioli favorite. So
Olivia. Not thrilled with Olivia's at the moment. We're not.
Oh, bad experience. Oh man, no, hatred for Olivia's.
Since they reopened, my favorite thing to get there was the pork carnitas at lunch.
Okay,
and they have not brought that back to the menu since they reopened. And that was the main thing I ordered every single time, and it's just not there.
Okay, so interesting.
Yep. So that was a great debate. Immediately, I was like, "Carly's got it again." And then you came back strong with the all the authenticity and everything. However, I sat there and said, who explained it best and made me want to eat at that restaurant? And Chris, I have a feeling you know where she got me.
No.
The steak with the chimichurri sauce.
There you go.
Are you a chimichurri lover?
The pork carnitas have chimichurri on them, and I love steak.
It's their signature menu. It's your signature food, right, Carly?
Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah,
but also has really good chimichurri sauce is not Liberty Tree, Garden Grill.
Nice,
which is surprising. That was almost my choice. But
nice,
both great arguments. I'm going to give that one to Carly though.
So Carly would be your winner for this one. Let's just go over our questions for the third round because I have a good one. We just didn't have time. We ran out of time. Let's go over our questions if you could. What do you have, Carly, for your third question?
Well, mine was kind of infringed upon. It was best theming, Polly versus Copper Creek. But okay. We haven't talked about that.
Scott, what was the one that you have passed up?
Well, I had Jumbo House versus Wilderness Lodge Lobby, Monorail Resort versus the Boat Resorts. I had the Polynesian versus Grand Floridian. And then the one I had on here was a specific restaurant. I want to pick similar ones near each other, ESPN Zone versus Beaches and Cream.
Oh, interesting.
But I don't know. It was one I said maybe too never. Specific that maybe you haven't eaten there. So I decided to go generic, pick your own favorite and battle.
Gotcha. Nice. Here's my last question. If purchasing resale, this is your option, Riviera, only staying at Riviera for 49 years, or Bay Lake Tower, staying at any DVC resort for 39 years. So you got the Riv only for 49 or Bay Lake at 39, but you get to stay anywhere. And that was going to be my argument, but I realized that as I'm looking at the clock, we've gone kind of long. So you know, the best part about this, no matter what, you know what, it's still a great evening. I get to talk with my buddies here. So a little plug here. So I'll lead it off, then I'll let Scott take over. Scott, again, is the president of Buy and Sell DVC and DVC-Rental, and he obviously sells Disney Vacation Club. But where can they find you, and, like, what's the process? And give me like a three-minute spiel of who you are and what you can do for people.
Well, you can find me under Scott Fraioli on Facebook. That's probably the best way. You can always send me a personal email at Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at dvc-rental.com. Join our resales group, Disney Vacation Club Resales DVC. That's where we run that group and just talk about resales and everything Disney. And I got so excited. I forgot, what was the last part you said?
Just like what do you offer?
What do I offer?
Who are you? What do you do?
I mean, honestly, there's other companies that do exactly what we do. My goal from the beginning has always been to offer the absolute best experience, the best customer service possible, because that's the way we separate ourselves from our competitors. I mean, there's other people who rent points, there's other people who sell contracts. We try to do the best customer service. We're always friendly. We're the highest rated out of any of the companies on both the resales and the rental side. And I mean, all I can say is that, you know, we stand behind everything. We, you know, if there's ever a problem, you can reach me. A lot of the other companies, honestly, the people who started them don't work for the companies anymore. They've sold them off or they've retired. So, I mean, you know, you can always reach out to the person who owns it and runs it at any point, and I'm always very accessible.
Exactly. So, Carly, about 4.5-5 years ago, I reached out to Scott, random cold call, right? Actually, it was a direct message.
He got me to extend my auto warranty. You believe it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is before we close out your warranty, this is a final courtesy call. No, I reached out, direct message. Hey, my name is Chris. We have the show. Are you interested in appearing? And I'm sure he appeared before because I've heard his ad reads on like Sorcerer Radio, right? Scott, are you still advertising on Sorcerer Radio? So I was like, oh, this guy, I don't know what I'm going to get my hands on here. I don't know how we immediately hit it off. And he's right. The one thing that's always really cool about Scott is that phone number, that's Scott's freaking phone number. So you want to call somebody, you're going to call him. So like, yeah, if you ever like, if you're worried about, man, I don't know if I should buy the contract and you have a question, like you might get like the fourth person or the fifth person or like just like a salesman, you get the person who's doing it. So, and I picked that up really quickly. So, and honestly, over 5 years, Scott's become one of my best friends because I appreciate his work ethic and I appreciate his honesty and you know, how he commits to things. So
he's not a schmoozer, like some like car salesman style like, people
I,
we know.
Like me. Like me.
I wish I was better at it, to be honest. I'm not a great salesman. I mean, I've done customer service stuff for a lot of my life. I worked in retail originally and then working in restaurants. So I think that I've become maybe a little more humble and I'm good at just trying to help people versus trying to close a sale. That's not my style. I'm not a slick talker. I don't think anybody
wants that from you. I think you tell it like it is. And I think that's what people really want.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So find Scott on his website. What's your YouTube address, buddy?
It's DVC Rental without the dash, just to confuse everybody more, because you can't put dashes in YouTube. So just to poke me a little bit, it's just DVC Rental, one word.
Gotcha. But you have like a ton of like walkthroughs, so resorts and parks, and you got some Disneyland videos too as well. So, but if you're curious about anything, Scott's got good stuff there. So check it out. Find him in Edcot. Look at his website. Talk to the man himself. You want to know who keeps him on track, Carly?
Oh.
He's got his boss working for him.
Well, yeah.
His boss is Shannon, and it's his wife, and she's working with him. Absolutely. Making sure that Scott stays on the straight.
Brave woman.
And she's a brave woman. So anyways, join us in Edcot, EDCOT. And for listening today and downloading, we certainly do appreciate that. If you can go to your podcast provider of choice and leave us a review, we've had some really good reviews recently, but we would love to get some more. What are we forgetting, Carly?
Follow us on Instagram. We are at the WDW Review Podcast, and we post pretty regularly anymore. So come and check it out and like our stuff and follow us and all that wonderful stuff. And also, if you're interested in helping out the show in any way, we would love for you to check out Patreon.
Sounds good. I'm going to bring it back full circle before I leave. Be kind, people. Have a great day.
Bye.